All right, I call this meeting of the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order at 3:18 p.m. on Friday, January 21st, 2022. Members present are Representatives Kaufman, Schrage, McCarty, Snyder, and myself, Sheriff Sponholz. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. We've been joined by Representative Fields, our co-chair Fields, who is on the telephone with us today. Thanks so much to our Secretary Leah Frazier and our LAO moderator Nate Williams today for joining us. As a reminder to everybody, be sure to speak, announce yourself before speaking for those listening online. And if you haven't already, silence your cell phones. We have one item on our agenda today, HB 159, the Consumer Data Privacy Act. We last heard this bill in December, but we've actually already heard this bill in committee six times. It is a big bill, but it's actually not the first time. I went back and was looking through my notes and realized that we'd done six full hearings on this bill over the last, 7 months or so. So hopefully we all know it pretty well by now. We have a new committee substitute that we'd like to bring before the committee. Can I have a motion to adopt the CS?
Yeah, thank you, Chair Sponholz. I move that the committee adopt the committee substitute for HB 159, Labor and Commerce, version I, as the working document.
All right. Is there any objection? All right. Seeing none, the CS version I has been adopted for the purposes of discussion today. We're going to hear from Tristan Walsh, staff to co-chair Fields, to walk us through the summary of changes to the legislation. And before Mr. Walsh begins talking, did you want to make any additional comments, co-chair Fields?
Thank you. Yeah, Tristan will go through the details, but high-level changes since we first heard this bill, and that's Simone, our kids are recovering from.
Yeah, we're going to get some more.
Our kids are recovering from COVID, and sorry for the inconvenience.
That is all right. I think you've got some aid support, but sometimes some kinds of help are the kind of help we can all do without, I think, was the way the line in the song goes.
So just high-level changes, as this bill is, as we've studied this bill and written a couple of CSs, number one, we adjusted the exemptions to ensure that businesses providing tangible goods and services in Alaska are not unintentionally covered under this bill, everything from logistics to construction to retail companies. They aren't really the intent of this bill, and we rewrote the exemptions to make sure they aren't unintentionally burdened with unnecessary regulations. Number two, we strengthened the language around individuals' biometric information. This is an area where there's been rapidly evolving technology and corresponding changes to necessary laws to protect people's biometric information. We've strengthened language regarding protection of minors, and we have further strengthened language around enforcement. And all of these are topics that we've heard about from some of the consumer rights and privacy advocates during previous years. So with that high-level summary of changes, I defer to Tristan for additional detail. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Walsh.
For the record, Tristan Walsh, staff, Representative Fields, and just for committee members, notice, Representative Fields is speaking to broadly the changes in version B as well, and so I'll be speaking here strictly to the changes from version B to version I, and so I'll walk you through the document that should be in your packets. These were a number of technical changes that we made with the suggestion of Legislative Legal. Our drafter, Terry Bannister, is also on the line. And then we also worked with Maureen Mahoney in Consumer Reports, who has been one of our expert witnesses throughout the drafting process. So the first change that we've noticed is Section 9, page 8, lines 21 to 26. We consolidated Section 45.48.805 A and B into Section E, and we renamed it C accordingly. So this is able to accomplish the same intent of the original bill while also closing some loopholes. And so we can walk you through that. But for example, initially the data collection was limited to the folks who were collecting the data, and a lot of information brokers are actually purchasing or sharing that data from or on the secondary market. So we're closing a loophole in that sense. And then for section two, or number two, section nine, page 12, lines 9 and 10, these were two changes we worked with legislative legal on. So the initial language in version B only had the word sell. So we want to make sure that it also included the practices of sharing or disclosing that information. So that was also the same spirit of item number three. It's in section 9, page 13, line 19. And so we inserted disclose, use, or following the word sell. And so those were essentially to close loopholes, especially I think in one of those cases, it's to protect the information of minors from being shared and disclosed in addition to being sold. And then number four is an addition to a change to AS 4548865E. And so those are the exemptions for the conduct of business inside business entities that are trying to do things like compliance. And so at the suggestion of legislative legal, we expanded that to include all business entities in Alaska, such as LLCs. And then number five, section 9, page 22, line 28. In version A that was introduced by the Department of Law, when you're looking at the registration of a data broker, they had the language that was stated on or before January 31st, following each calendar year, that a business is a data broker. We replaced that to eliminate kind of a very long shoulder season that could result in some data brokers being able to engage in the conduct that's the focus of the bill without being covered. So in this case, it says it was replaced with before a business begins operating as a data broker. And so the intent there is to help encourage registration with Department of Commerce as a data broker. Mm-hmm. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Are there any questions for Representative Fields or for Mr. Walsh? All right. We've got Rep. Snyder and then Rep. Kaufman.
Thank you, Chair Sponholz. I could use a refresher reminder, and I know Representative Fields mentioned in the introduction of the bill just now some distinctions on business types that are excluded. And then I'm also, if you could refresh my memory on that, and then also any specifics regarding impacted businesses and their characteristics. Are there particular types of businesses, size, location that are excluded from this bill?
For the record, Tristan Walsh, staff to Representative Fields. Some of the examples where in this is also included in the original bill, if it was a transaction that is a one-time transaction where the consumer, the business is simply using it to fulfill a consumer's request, it will be exempt from this legislation. And then there's also protections in there for services that are reasonably related to the service the consumer is requesting. So, for example, if you're, I think one of the good examples might be if you're joining a rewards club or some sort of grocery membership, then you're reasonably expecting discounts and solicitations for those sorts of discounts. And then the explicit exemption section for like covered businesses, a lot of that was focused to make sure that we didn't impair the internal conduct of a corporation or company that's not necessarily engaged in outward sale, share, or disclosure of consumers' information, but the conduct of their enterprise in the state.
Colin?
No, thank you.
Could I add to that?
All right, go ahead, Rep. Fields.
Thanks to the Chair, Representative Snyder. The initial version of the bill that's introduced by the administration had some dollar figures and volume of people's private information that was being quote-unquote shared, and we changed that threshold. This is adding to what Tristan said. We changed that threshold, so the only companies covered under this would be companies that primarily deal in buying and selling consumers' information or do a very high volume of that activity specifically, you would not encompass, say, a large company that simply happens to have a lot of consumers' information. You know, Costco is not buying and selling people's information. They're not a data broker, right? They have a lot of people's information. They do a large volume of business, but they're not actually the companies that are abusing people's privacy. So the original draft of the bill, I think unintentionally, would have covered a company like Costco or REI or many construction companies, logistic companies, and we more narrowly focused on those companies that are actually conducting their business around this specific activity.
Does that answer your question? All right, thank you. All right, Rep. Kaufman?
No.
Nope. Answer your question. All right, anybody else? All right. Looks like you got off there pretty easy. Thanks very much, Mr. Walsh and Co-Chair Fields. All right, next up we're going to go to invited testimony. We've got, in addition to, I should just, before I go to invited testimony, we do have Terry Bannister with Ledge Legal who helped craft the legislation in the committee substitute. And then we're going to go to invited testimony from Maureen Mahoney, who's a senior policy analyst with Consumer Reports. After Ms. Mahoney, we're going to hear from Michael Garvey with the ACLU Alaska. Ms. Mahoney, are you available?
Chair, yes, I'm here.
All right. Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Mahoney? All right, Rep. Kaufman.
Thank you. Through the chair to Ms. Mahoney. The question I have is with the bill as it now sits, how do we know that we are up to the latest standards in terms of what has been produced here? Do we know that we're chasing the right target, that we're not somehow writing something that'll be behind the times before it's ever passed or published? Thank you.
Thank you for your question. So in my opinion, this bill would provide extremely strong privacy protections for consumers and would be at the cutting edge of such protections. And one of the main reasons why it is that way is because it would protect consumers' privacy by default. Companies will be limited in what they can collect, use, and share to what's reasonably necessary to provide the consumer's requested service or what they've consented to. And we think this unnecessary collection and monetization of consumer data is the source of many of the problems for consumers online, including micro-targeting with ads. In contrast, the other legislation that we're seeing passed in the states, for example, in California, in Virginia, in Colorado, those are based on an opt-out model that would require consumers to reach out to every single company collecting and sharing their data. To address that, which simply isn't workable for consumers. So that's why I think this bill is so important.
Do you follow?
No, thank you.
All right, are there any other questions for Ms. Mahoney? Ms. Mahoney, do you have anything else that you wanted to add to the record before we move on to Michael Garvey?
I just very much appreciate your work to advance consumer privacy through this bill.
All right. Thank you very much for that. And I think the credit goes both to the administration and to Co-Chair Fields and his team for the good work on this bill. All right. Thank you very much for your testimony and your time today, Ms. Mahoney. Next up, we're going to go to Michael Garvey, who's with the ACLU of Alaska. Mr. Garvey.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Arnold and Fields and members of the committee. For the record, I am Michael Garvey, Advocacy Director for the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska. I will try and keep this short and sweet. We thank the committee for inviting us to speak about consumer privacy and working to protect the privacy rights of Alaskans who live in a world where every day companies are collecting and processing our personal information at a vast scale. While we are still conducting a thorough review of the legislation's text, we did want to elevate a few elements we believe to be critical in consumer privacy legislation. Specifically, I want to elevate the critical need for civil rights protections. Committee members may have read about discriminatory advertisements for housing or employment as companies collect more and more of our personal information and use and the use of automated decision systems grows, the potential for harm caused by the use of that personal information grows as well. Ideally, consumer privacy legislation should prohibit companies from using personal information in a manner that discriminates against us on the basis of race, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, and other protected characteristics, ensuring that our civil rights are protected online and everywhere. Examples of this can be found in strong consumer privacy legislation elsewhere in the country, like the People's Privacy Act in Washington State or Massachusetts Information Privacy Act. I also want to just recognize that this legislation contains a lot of key concepts related to consumer privacy that we find important, such as the private right of action, attention to biometric data, prohibition of dark patterns, and retaliation provision to prevent preferential pricing and economic coercion of customers. We're still reviewing legislative language of these provisions, but want to thank the committee for its hard work and recognizing the importance of those provisions. I would also second the importance of an opt-in model versus an opt-out, and would love to and keeping that in mind during our fourth hour review. So I'll stop there for any questions that committee members might have.
All right. Are there any questions for Mr. Garvey? Bueller. All right. All right. Looks like there's no questions for you. Thanks very much for your testimony today, Mr. Garvey. Are there any other questions at all on this bill
today?
All right. Well, this is going to be a pretty fast afternoon, which is a nice blessing since it's Friday. All right. Amendments for this bill, HB 159, are due by Tuesday, January 25th at 5 p.m. This will have been seven hearings. That will be our eighth hearing. Should be plenty of time for folks to have considered what policy changes you might like us to consider. We will be taking up this topic on Wednesday, January 26th at 5:15 here in Barnes 124. If you remember, on Monday and Wednesday during our regular time slot, we've got budget finance subcommittee hearings. So we are going to have this committee on Wednesday evening instead of so that we can make sure that we're making some progress. Additionally, noticed on the agenda for that meeting is House Bill 220, which we heard on Wednesday. So with that, thanks again to our Secretary Leah Fraser and our LIO moderator, Nate Williams. This meeting, the House Labor and Commerce Committee, is adjourned at 3:36 p.m.